As I shared a moment ago, we're in our 30-day season of prayer and of fasting. And today we begin a brand new series during this season entitled Rise. Rise. It's based on a word in the Old Testament. The word is Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And the word occurs 74 times in the Old Testament. 71 of those are in the book of Psalms. And the word, there's a lot of mystery around the meaning of that word. But the root word for it in the Hebrew means to lift up or to exalt. And there are 31 chapters in the book of Psalms that have this word Selah in it. 31 of those are written to the choir master. And so a lot of folks believe that that word Selah is a musical notation, that it means like an interlude or an intermission. It's like when our worship team is playing and then they step back, or they're singing and leading and then step back from the mic and just play. And in that moment, God is calling us, right, to a place of just prayer and lifting our heart to Him. But it's not just when we gather for worship. Selah is about hitting the pause button in life. Well, that's the antithesis of our culture, isn't it? The pause button, doesn't it feel like life just continues on and on and on, faster and faster, and do more and more and more and more? And that's just the nature of our culture today. This busy, distracted, anxious, broken culture. Well, in this series, God wants to lift us. Pause to rise. Pause to pray. Pause to worship. Pause to gain perspective, to lift your thoughts above the horizontal. In fact, we're in a devotional series right now also. If you didn't get a chance to get the devotional book last week, we've got a few more left. Also, you can sign up for our email devotionals online at our website and get those same devotionals right to your email every day also. But we're doing a devotional series right now called Vertical. Same idea, right? Hit the pause button to go vertical. Think about this. Is this true? So many of the horizontal issues in our life are the result of our lack of horizontal living. Isn't that right? Or it may be an opportunity, or it is an opportunity, to go vertical. To take the horizontal stuff, the relational issues, the life issues, the health issues, financial issues, all that stuff. And God works in that and says, no, let's take this vertical. Lift your heart to me. Lift your thoughts to me. Lift your prayer and your prayers and praises to me. And so rise. Church, that's what God wants to do in this 30-day season of prayer and fasting, is to lift us above all the horizontal stuff and teach us to make a regular pattern of hitting the pause button in life. Hit the pause button. Get alone with God. Set your mind on the Lord. Pray and seek Him. Okay? And so that's what this series is all about. Today we're in Psalm 24. I invite you to turn with me there, and we're going to walk through selected psalms in this series that have that word Selah in it. Pause to rise. Pause to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus. So Psalm 24 is where we are today. And I just want to give you some quick context on this. Psalm chapter 24, David here, most scholars believe the context goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Where David has just been ushered in as king in Israel, and specifically in Jerusalem. They defeated the Jebusites. They defeated the Philistines. David's been waiting over 15 years for this under the crazy, insecure, wicked rule of Saul in Israel. And so now he's king. And at the end of this chapter, we see David crying out, let the King of Glory in. Man, who is the King of Glory? It's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord strong in battle. So as a king, he goes from horizontal to vertical. He's stepping into his kingdom, but he says, ultimately, this ain't mine, it's God's. Come on, somebody, isn't that right? Everything we have is God's. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But that's the idea, taking the horizontal, vertical. And he asks this question, who is it that can ascend the hill of the Lord. He just ascended the hill of Israel, Jerusalem, if you will. Jerusalem is always, you always go up to Jerusalem in the Bible. That's the eventual, eventual dwelling place of Jesus when he comes to rule as king over this earth. And so he says, who can ascend to God's holy place? Who can stand there with him? And it's only those who seek the, here it is, face of God. Face of God. So much of our prayer life is asking for a handout from God, isn't it? So much of our prayers are, God, give me this. God, fix this. God, solve this problem. So much of our prayers, and God wants us to bring those things to Him. But first and foremost, prayer should be about seeking the face of God. Those who seek His face will experience His grace. Remember that statement. The face of God. The face is the distinguishing mark of someone, isn't it? You could see someone from a distance, from behind, and they may have the same body type, same hair color, and walk the same way, everything, as somebody that you know. And you say, hey, that's so-and-so. And then they turn around and you say, well, wait a minute. That's not who I thought it was. Why? Because it's your face, your countenance, those expressions, your appearance of your face. That is your distinguishing characteristic. And so when the Bible says seek the face of God, it means to seek Him in a conversational way, a relational way, a friend way, not a disrespectful or irreverent way, but just as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. What did He say? Pray then in this way. Come on, church, if you know it. Pray then in this way, our Father. There it is, right? Revolutionary idea for the people of Israel. They never would approach God. In the Old Testament, they misunderstood. Many did. Focused on this legalistic view of God, condemning view of God, and it said we would never call God our Father. How disrespectful of that. No. That's the very thing that God wants us to refer to Him as. We are His children. He is our Father. And through Jesus, now we have a relationship with Him, and His Holy Spirit now comes to live in us. We are the temple of God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Who's the house of God? It's us. Those of us that know Jesus. And so, taking it vertical. Exodus 33 gives us a great explanation of what it looks like to seek the face of God. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. As a man speaks to his what? What do you see there? To his what? His friend. That's it. Do you, we'll ask this question at the beginning of this series, then we're going to dig in quickly and move to another time of prayer today. But here's the deal. Do you have that kind of relationship with Jesus? Face to face. Relational, conversational, intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. The Bible informs us of faith. But our faith is more than words on a page. Come on, church. Faith in Christ is scripture fed, but it is spirit led. It is relationship with Him. And that's what prayer is all about. Face to face. Is that indicative of your walk with God today? If not, God wants to take you and I to that new place, a deeper place. Come again. I'm open. Whatever you want to do. Holy Spirit of God, whatever you want to do. Jesus be lifted up, whatever you want to do. That must be our heart's cry in these days. If we want to experience the strength and the grace and the wisdom and the power of God in our lives. Psalm 24, let's dive in together. Psalm 24, starting in verse number 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everybody who dwells therein. For He has founded it upon the seas. He's established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? It's he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will. Here's one of those many promises of God in the scripture concerning the blessing of God and prayer. God answering prayer. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the, there it is, the face of the God of Jacob. Oh, Father, raise up a generation of people right here from Living Hope who seek your face, oh God. Not just your hand, not just healing, not just provision, not just wisdom. Father, you are a healing God. You are a great provider. You promised to do those things, but would to God that we would seek you just to know you, just to hear your voice, just to love you and experience of that friendship with you, oh God. We are grateful today for Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the one who came, shed your precious blood on the cross, and made it possible for us to have access to God the Father. And so thank you, Jesus. Raise up a generation who seeks your face, oh God. Oh, Jesus, it's in your powerful name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Seeking the face of God. Psalm 24, David, and I'm going to share this with us quickly, and then I want us to move to prayer once again. David explains for us in this psalm what seeking the face of God means, what it looks like. Okay? Number one, seeking God's face means recognizing his authority. His authority. Now keep in mind the context here. David has been ushered into his kingdom, and he's stepping in and beginning to take over rule over all of Israel. Been waiting for this over 15 years. And God anointed him as a young boy. Now he's finally stepping into that place. And he declares here, he's looking around, he says, look at all that I've gained. Look at all that God's blessed me with. Look at this kingdom and the wealth and the accolades and accomplishments that have come with that, and all the people now that I get to lead. But then he stops in his tracks and he says, but wait a minute. The earth is whose? The Lord's. The fullness thereof. The world and everybody who dwells therein. And so what he says is, I may be taken over as king, but Jesus, you are the King of glory. You own everything. Listen to me. There is nothing that's yours this morning or mine. Nothing. Everything that we have is on loan from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. John said this in John chapter 3, verse 27. He says right after this, you know, I must decrease and he must increase. But right before that, he says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given him from God. Even the very breath in our lungs this morning, God owns. He owns the money, the houses, the job, our families, all that. It's all his. It's all a blessing from him. And that is so important that we recognize that I don't own anything. It's kind of like conversations we have with our children at home. How many of you have teenagers at the house? Come on and just say amen, right? And we love our children. We have a good time. But we have this conversation. And my children, they will come up to me and they'll say, Dad, can I have my phone? Hello. That's my phone. Can I have my phone? And then, hello. And then we have a little conversation. We say, well, wait a minute. Let's go read the Verizon bill. Let's find out whose name is on that. That ain't your phone. I was talking with student parents the other day. We had a meeting together. I said, hey, we need to have a phone burning. Anybody else in on a phone burning? Like back in the day, church, you know, back way in the day, some crazy churches have book burnings, right? And I'm not advocating for that, but I would love to burn some phones. And by the way, it might burn a hole in the ozone. That's all right. It'll make my life happier. You know what I'm saying? It'll make our life. And by the way, parents, let's not just pick on our kids, right? I'd love to pitch my phone in the fire too, right? And burn that sucker, you know, every now and then. Hey, that's my phone. No, I own the phone. That means that we get to say what goes on with this phone. Dad, that's my room. Well, here's the thing. Hey, let's go get the mortgage bill. Have y'all ever done that with your kids? Go and got the mortgage and read it. It said, whose name is on that? No, this is not your room. This is my room. Now, we love our kids and we want to show them some privacy, right? I get it. But at the same time, every now and then we got to remind them, unlock the door, bless God, right? In Jesus' name. I will take it off the hinges. I know how to do that, right? We will take this thing off the hinges and we will have a conversation if you try to ignore us, right? No, this is not your phone. This is not your room. You are a child here. And yes, one day you'll have things of your own. But until then, right, you are under our authority. And listen to me, children of God, we are just that. We are children of God. There is nothing that's ours, not even the breath in our lungs. And so that means worshiping God is a non-negotiable. Giving, it's not an option. Serving, it's not a choice. Sharing Christ with others. And I don't say that to heap legalism on this. We're talking about prayer and love and grace, and that's what it's all about. It is our love for God, knowing Jesus and loving Jesus, that motivates, I tweeted this morning, that motivates our obedience, isn't it? Holiness is about loving God, not so much the law of God, and it is our love for God that informs and inspires our obedience. And so don't hear me heaping legalism on this, but I think we talk so much about grace that sometimes we miss the fact of, I'm owned. I'm owned. Scripture says this. Listen to this. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Christ gave himself for us to redeem us, set us free from slavery to sin and from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people. Hello. Hey, anybody with me? Right? A people for his own. What's that next word, church? Possession. We don't have any possessions. We are possessed of Jesus, of the Spirit of God when you're saved. So there's nothing that's ours. Seeking the face of God means recognizing, God, this is all yours. I'm going to bring everything to you because ultimately I'm going to answer for this. I'm a steward. We're servants and stewards here. Children of God, saints of God. Yes, that endearing term. But also we are stewards. All of it. And so we're going to be held accountable for it. And so I'm going to seek his face. And that means I'm recognizing he is over it all. Secondly, we're going to keep moving because I want to get to prayer. Secondly, seeking God's face means pursuing his purity. Do you see that here? Who is it that can stand in God's holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Yeah, that's what it says here. Clean hands and a pure heart. So holiness, God's holy place. The context will add to this. David in 2 Samuel 6 not only has stepped into the kingdom, now he sent a group to go bring the Ark of the Covenant, which is representative of God's presence, back into the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle of God and of Israel. And it says in Exodus that whenever you transport, the very few times they transported the Ark of the Covenant, it was to be carried on poles that were inserted through gold rings on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, this group that went to get it decided to put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart that was pulled by an ox. And that ox is rolling along and all of a sudden going down these rocky paths. And the cart begins to tip and the Ark of the Covenant starts to tip over, and this dude named Uzzah reaches over, if you remember with the scripture, and he touches the Ark of the Covenant. What happened? Died. Right there. And you think, man, what a mean God. No, God said, carry the thing with poles. Whenever we try to usher in God's presence in our way and do things our way, we screw it up big time, don't we? They didn't do it God's way. They didn't bring in God's presence God's way. And so as a result, Uzzah dies there. And so David here, man, he has great fear and trepidation. He's like, God, why in the world? And God's like, you know, hey, you didn't do it my way. And so eventually they come. It goes to the house of Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom's house is blessed because the presence of God. Hey, don't you know when the presence of God is in your house, you're blessed, right? And so he was blessed. And so David said, okay, now let's do it the right way. And let's bring it back into God's tabernacle. And so they went and they carried it on poles. And that's where it says that David danced before the Lord, right? With a linen ephod only. And that's interesting. Come on, Baptist, right? And he's dancing before the Lord in worship out of a pure heart. just saying, God, I come to give you praise. The point was just open before God, saying, God, I want you to do anything and everything in my heart and my life. And so pursuing his purity, holiness. When Isaiah in Isaiah 6 got a vision of God, what did he see? He saw Jesus, the train of his robe filling the temple, smoke filling that place. It says that there was these angelic creatures called seraphim that were around the throne of God, and they were crying out incessantly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holiness. Holiness is God's infinite otherness. He is perfect and righteous and pure and glorious and complete, if you will, in a way that we cannot fathom. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Just read the Bible a little while and you can see where God called his people to do some absolutely crazy stuff in the eyes and minds of the culture to glorify him. Holy, and holiness is about being connected to him in love as much as it is keeping rules and commands. Holiness, and that's the life he calls us to pursue his purity. Here, clean hands, what does that mean? Clean hands means right actions, okay? Clean hands means right actions. And so who we are, it's about integrity, right? Who we are in private is who we are. So what about your thoughts? What about decisions of life, right? What about all those things that the world doesn't see? Am I seeking to honor God in that? It's about doing the right thing. So clean hands means right actions. A pure heart means a right attitude. So right attitude, right motivation. You can do, hello church, you can do the right thing in the wrong way, can't you? You really can. You can do the right thing. You can go to church. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can give. You can serve. You can even invite people to church. But then you can still have a rotten attitude while you do it, can't you? It's so pure heart. It's about a right attitude. God, cleanse my heart from the heart. Scripture says that the true worshipers of God worship in what? Spirit and truth. It's heart stuff. It's God connection stuff. It's allowing him to have his way in us. And that's what leads to obedience in our life. So it's right actions. It's right attitude. But then when he says a person who ascends into God's presence is a person who doesn't lift up his soul to what is false, that's right ambition. Ambition. The word false there can also be translated vanity, much like the word in Ecclesiastes. Not too long ago, we did that series in Ecclesiastes where Solomon said chasing money and sexual pleasure and man's applause and all this stuff of the world, you know, entertainment and leisure and pleasure. He said, I chased all of that to the nth degree and found my life even more broken at the end of it than it was before. Vanity. So who is the one who is lifted into God's presence? It's not the one chasing wealth. It's not the one chasing man's applause or earthly accolades or accomplishments. It's the person who simply loves Jesus and wants to be in his presence. That's the person that receives of God, hears from God, and has the anointing and the power of God, the Spirit of God on their life. So it reminds me of the story of an American Christian man who went on a mission trip with his church, and they went to a remote part of Africa. And when they got there, they went to the missionary's home, and the American Christian man was a wealthy man, blessed man, and he got to talk to the missionary there, and he said, hey, looking around here, he said, I don't see a whole lot of furniture. All the missionary had, he lived in a little 300 square foot block house with a very rudimentary thatch roof on it, and he just had a table and a couple of chairs and a bed, some, you know, a few pots and pans and some eating utensils, plates, forks, that kind of thing. And he looked at me and said, where's all your furniture? And the missionary stopped for a minute and he thought, and he said, well, where's all yours? He said, well, well, my furniture's back home, right? Because I'm just passing through. And the missionary looked at him and he said, so am I. Listen to me, church, we're just passing through. All that stuff ain't going with you or me. Nothing wrong with having things. David had things here. He was blessed of God, and he was blessed because he had been so faithful to God. Come on now, let's not miss the context. But also, listen to me, it's nothing wrong with having things. The problem comes in when your things have you. And there's a whole lot more people in the church today that their things have them. Right? More than God has control of their things. Giving, serving, inviting, all that is an expression of love and gratitude. It's not for my salvation, it's because of it. Seeking the face of God means pursuing His purity. God, my hope's not in these things. I want to do what's right, whether people see it or not. And it's because I love you and I want to have a pure heart before you. Which leads to number three and lastly this morning, then we'll move to prayer again. Seeking God's face means also trusting His generosity. How many of you will just testify today and say, God is a generous God to us? Come on, lift your hand up and just testify. Yeah, generous God, giving God. Absolutely. He is a good provider. And he says, whoever seeks the face of God, clean hands, pure heart, not perfection. He's not talking about perfection here. He's talking about a desire and a direction of life. I just want to be pure before God. God, come and cleanse me. Jesus, by your precious blood, cleanse me. Holy Spirit of God, fill me and lead me. He says the person who seeks the face of God, a pure heart, clean hands, not chasing all the vain stuff of this world. He says he will receive a blessing from the Lord. What a promise. God loves to bless His children. The interesting thing is here in Psalm 24, David does not articulate or identify the blessing. He just says you'll be blessed when you seek God. And the greatest blessing of it all is a deeper walk with Jesus, is a deeper recognition, a more cognizant recognition, attentiveness to His Spirit, hearing His voice, receiving of His grace every day. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, this is a verse I love to quote when you think about the filling of the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the filling of the Holy Spirit? And again, that doesn't mean that you're getting saved again. Come on, somebody. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But somehow, as we pour out day in and day out, right, we need to refocus. We need to reset. We need to resubmit, if you will. Not be resaved, but come under His control every day. Fill me with your Spirit, O God. And Matthew 7, 11 tells us how we receive that. He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more, come on somebody, does our Father want to give us His Holy Spirit when we, what? What's the next word? He gives His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him in faith and humility. Just ask and God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. And so what a generous God we serve. And it goes on to say that He will give righteousness to those who seek the face of God. Righteousness is received, not achieved. Righteousness is received, not achieved. It's something we receive from Jesus through His shed blood on the cross and His resurrection. When we trust in Christ, we are justified, made right with God. And He gives us righteousness positionally. Now I'm right with Him. And I can walk in righteousness through the power of His Holy Spirit. Again, not perfection, but that new direction of life. Now I'm desiring to walk with Him and He begins to mold me and shape me after His image. Oh, our God is a generous God. That's why we seek His face, because we know He's going to bless with the true blessings that we need. Oh, what about you today? Face to face. Does that define your relationship with Jesus? Or is it more about, God, fix this. God, solve this problem. God, I need this. God, I want this. No. Is it about the temporal things or is it about eternal things? Face to face with Jesus as a man speaks to his friend.